वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामो भगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् Canto 10, Chapter 20, entitled The Rainy Season and Autumn. Today we will be doing texts 9 and 10, both. What's on the board? 9 is on the board? Oh, both are there, okay. They form a natural pair for reasons that I will explain shortly. Shrutva parjanyaninadam मंडुकाः ससृजुर्गिरः तुष्णीं शयाना प्राग्यत्व ब्राह्मणा नियमात्यये श्रुत्वा hearing परजन्य of the rain clouds निनदम् the resounding Mandukaha, the frogs, Sasrijuhum, emitted, Giraham, their sounds, Tushnim, silently, Shayana, lying, Prak, previously, Yadvat, just as, Brahmanaha, Brahmana students, Niyama Atyaye, after finishing their morning duties. Translation. The frogs, who had all along been lying silent, suddenly began croaking when they heard the rumbling of the rain clouds, in the same way that Brahmana students, who perform their morning duties in silence, begin reciting their lessons when called by their teacher. Please repeat, the frogs, who had all along been lying silent, suddenly began croaking when they heard the rumbling of the rain clouds. In the same way that Brahmana students, who perform their morning duties in silence, begin reciting their lessons, when called by their teacher. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada comments, quote, after the first rainfall, when there is a thundering sound in the clouds, all the frogs begin to croak, like students suddenly engaged in reading their studies. Students are generally supposed to rise early in the morning. They do not usually arise of their own accord, however, but only when there is a bell sounded in the temple, or in the cultural institution. By the order of the spiritual master, they immediately rise, and after finishing their morning duties, they sit down to study the Vedas or chant Vedic mantras. Similarly, everyone is sleeping in the darkness of Kali Yuga, but when there is a great Acharya, by his calling only, everyone takes to the study of the Vedas to acquire actual knowledge. End quote. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namam Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Putale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutaparakamadam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sintho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vansha Kalpadarukhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Madhgavirapi Gopala Sri Kuryat Kripaya Yadi Tadaiva Sampaya Pitva Rishyayustat Priyajanaha. As we said, there are two verses here. The first is a positive example, Upadheya, something that should be emulated, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And that is that brahmacharis especially, they should rise early in the morning. If he doesn't rise early in the morning, he's not really a brahmachari. There are several comments on this verse by the prominent acharyas, beginning with Sridhar Swami, Sanatana Goswami, Jeev Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vamshidhara, and so many others. They all say essentially the same thing, and almost in the same words. That's very common. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is representative of all of them when he says, Nitya karmavasane acharya shabdam shrutva tat shishya tatha adhiyante tadvariti brahmachari bhir upadheya. At the time of performing their daily duties, nitya karmas, we have nitya kriyas and naimitika kriyas that we hear from Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, although not exactly in the Sanskrit terminology. Duties that you have to perform every day and duties that you perform occasionally. And similarly, there are duties that you have to perform. If you don't perform them, you incur sin. And then there are duties that you may perform, but you don't have to. For example, getting married. That's something you don't have to do. But you may, if you wish. Or rather, if you need. So, here it said that at the time of rising, brahmacharis especially, when they hear the call of the acharya, or as Prabhupada points out, bell ringing, if we live close enough to the Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Mandir, then we always know what time it is, because Srila Prabhupada made it a priority to ring the bell. Long stories behind that. But Most of us are living in modern lifestyle, and that means instead of a bell, you have a cell phone. And you depend on that. So anyway, tachrutva shishya yatha adhyante tadvariti. Just as the shishyas of the acharya, they rise upon hearing his call. These frogs were enlivened because they heard the call of thunder. We heard also this morning, even, isn't it? A little bit of rain as a respite for the parching heat. So, Srila Prabhupada says not only in a temple the bell will ring, but in a cultural institution, the Gurukula system is there. Even if you're studying, for example, Shastriya Sangeet, sometimes they have these institutions. Everybody, just like ashram, is gone. We're all familiar. At least those who are fortunate enough to undergo the training in the Brahmachari ashram. It's a great fortune. You should understand that if you did not have that fortune, you are at a disadvantage. It has to be said. Anyway, so this is the direct, simple meaning of the verse. There's not a great deal of additional commentary by our predecessor acharyas. As I said, they all say pretty much the same thing until we get to Srila Prabhupada. This is where it really gets tremendously profound and astonishingly wonderful. Listen to what Srila Prabhupada says in his Light of the Bhagavatam. We have two sources for studying today's verses. One is Srila Prabhupada's brief comments in his Krishna book, Summary Study of the 10th Canto, because in his actual translation he didn't get this far. But it's there in Krishna book. The other source is Light of the Bhagavatam. Which country got Srila Prabhupada's mercy before he came to the United States, aside from India? Japan. In 1961, shortly after taking sannyas, Srila Prabhupada received an invitation, no doubt in response to his outreach efforts, to come and speak at a conference on spiritual life in the modern world in Japan. And Srila Prabhupada thought very carefully about this, and knowing that the Far Eastern people are very fond of descriptions of nature, particularly the Japanese, Srila Prabhupada chose this section of the Bhagavatam to comment on and to give them instructions. And we'll see what kind of instructions came to Srila Prabhupada's mind, unlike any of his predecessors. When he heard this description of the frogs coming to life at the appearance of the rainy season, or the students rising upon hearing the call of their acharya, Srila Prabhupada says instead, quote, "In this age of a godless civilization, the sages of world-recognized religious sects who believe in God must come out of their secluded places and preach the science of God, the supreme will, to the people in general. Hindus, Muslims, Christians, and the members of other sects that have convincing faith in the authority of God must not sit idly now and silently watch the rapid growth of a godless civilization. There is the supreme will of God, and no nation or society can live in peace and prosperity without acceptance of this vital truth. The warning is already there, and responsible leaders of religious sects must meet together and form a common platform of a league of devotees of the Lord." Does it sound familiar? Something he was working on at that very moment. "There is no need for self-realized souls to live in a secluded place. Perfect self-realized souls engaged in the service of the Lord are unafraid of Maya, just as law-abiding citizens of a state never fear the police. Such fearless devotees of God always speak scientifically about the existence of God, even at the risk of death. Such devotees of God feel compassion for the mass of people who have completely forgotten the Supreme Lord and engage in the false pursuit of happiness that ends in the sense pleasures enjoyed by hogs and dogs. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. What to say? Srila Prabhupada, only Srila Prabhupada could have written this, and perhaps only at the time that he wrote it. But it sounds pretty relevant even in 2022, doesn't it? It's looking very close to World War III. By some accounts, it's already started. It's just not military yet in other places. But these are certainly some food for thought given to us by His divine grace. Where would we be without Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'm going to go on now to the next verse, since time is short. I should not have asked for two verses, but I did. One is completely enough. But as I said, they're a natural pair. We have this upadheya, something that should be emulated, given in this verse about brahmacharis rising, devotees in general rising. Just like an ISKCON temple at, say, 3 or 4 in the morning, things slowly start coming to life, and by the time it's maybe 5:45, the temple is buzzing with spiritual activity and humming like a factory in full swing with the sounds of the holy names of the Lord. Actually, that example is given by the Buddhist writer Ashvaghosh way back in the 2nd century BCE in his Buddhacharita. I translated it when I was in college. So, like a factory in full swing in ISKCON temple, every morning we see the same thing played out again and again. Just like on a larger scale, we find these frogs and other living entities becoming enlivened by the rainy season. Okay, so we'll go on to text number 9. I'm sorry, 10. You have it? Should we chant it responsively? Just once? Okay. Asan udpadagaminya. Chudranadyonu shashyati. Pungso yathasvatantrasya. Dehadravana sampadaham. That means, with the advent of the rainy season, the insignificant streams which had become dry began to swell and then strayed from their proper courses. Like the body, property, and money of a man controlled by the urges of his senses. Let's repeat this as well, because it bears repeating. With the advent of the rainy season, the insignificant streams which had become dry began to swell and then strayed from their proper courses. Like the body, property, and money of a man controlled by the urges of his senses. They have a word for this in Arabic, wadi. It's a dry riverbed. Or we hear in India also. Anybody been to Vishnu Gaya in Bihar? Falgu Tirtha is there. Yes, the Falgu Nadi is there. Why is it called Falgu? This is exactly how Vamshidhara Acharya glosses this term. Kshudra Nadi, in his gloss, means Falgu Jalaha, not very much water in it. In this place in Vishnu Gaya, it looks like a dry sand bed, dry creek bed, nothing there. But if you dig a little bit, the water is actually there. It is there. But it's very little water, very hard to take a bath there. Falgu Nadi, not very much water. So similarly, although these kinds of rivers, small little creeks, not really rivers, but small rivulets and creek beds, they just burst into life in the rainy season. They flood even. When I first came to Vrindavan, we came from bathing in the Yamuna, and that whole area near Madan Mohan Temple, all the way into Loi Bajar, was waist deep in water because it was like a flash flood. In other places, in Mumbai, we get this also. Subways get flooded. Perverted reflection, I guess. But okay, so this is the analogy. And what is the comparison here? They have strayed from their proper course. The word for that here is utpatagami. Utpatagami. Off their path. In primary education, there's a word for this. When little children, they get spaced out and they start playing instead of doing what they're supposed to. You say they're off task. So we also have this tendency. The spiritual master's order is there, but our senses are very strong and our minds are very active, and so we get off task. Or we go utpatagami. Deviant. This is the idea. So these are the... This is possible when you're a kshudranadi, when you're just a little river. But when you're a big river, well, the bigger you are as a river, as a current, dhara, then you become very grave and you become very, formidable, I want to say. Just like the Ganga, again, back to Bihar, if you see the Ganga there near, say, Mangir or something like that, very wide. In some places you cannot see across it in the rainy season. Mahanadi, in Odisha, is another one like this. You cannot see across. It's huge, especially in the rainy season. And of course, Krishna says in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, anybody know what I'm thinking about? Which verse? Yeah, Samudra Mahapa Pravishanti Yadvat. The ocean is even more so. Ocean is never disturbed. No matter what happens, no matter what comes into it or is taken out of it, coming in from these rivers, taken out by the sun, but it's never disturbed. We have to become like this also. So when we are kshudranadis, we get dried out. And similarly, pungso yatha svatantrasya. Here Sridhar Swami and others sees two options. The first one is aswatantrasyendriya paratantrasya. The first one is aswatantra. If you read it as aswatantra, means you don't have independence. What does that mean? Indriya paratantra. You're dependent on your senses. Because we're servants, we're going to do something, no matter what. If we're not focusing our senses and our minds according to the orders of the spiritual master, then they're being taken for a ride by somebody else or by some other ideal. So that's the first option. Then he says also the other thing, if you want to read it, you can also read it as swatantrasya. Swatantrasya nirankushasyeti. Wow. Nirankusha means you're unbridled, is a word that Srila Prabhupada uses. Independent in the sense that you've been given good instructions, but you don't follow them. Nirankusha, because there's nobody prodding you. This is why we have gurus. This is also why we have sadhu sangha, association with devotees. Because somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder sooner or later and say, Prabhu, there's a problem here. At least it should be so. Not that everybody does that, but the older person will do that. The more advanced person, the person recognized as being more advanced, I should say, he will do that. This is the adhikar. A person should express displeasure, Chanakya Kautilya said, in accordance, commensurate to the potency that he himself possesses. This is the idea. So in good association and with a bona fide spiritual master, this is what will happen. Nirankusha. Therefore the word is used, shasanam. We'll get to this in a moment. What to speak of shasanam? The very word shastra itself means shasanam. Chastisement. Sometimes you just have to be commanded. We don't like that. Because we have this independent mentality. So there's a good deal more commentary on this. Sanatan Goswami, he says, Purva Manusha Shyantyaha Dehadayohopi Prak Kshutra Vyathadina Kshinad Prashchat Bhoga vanijyadina sampannaha satyo yata vikarma para bhavanti. This is very interesting. What he brings in a new perspective here. He says somebody who was previously very dry and not really enjoying so much, but through sinful activities, vikarma para, by being devoted to sinful activities, sometimes a person shows some opulence. There are two ways you can show opulence. They're described in chapter 7 in Bhagavad Gita. Sukriti and Dushkriti. You can do things nicely or you can do things badly, but either way, you're kriti. You're going to be accomplished. This is what he's talking about, Dushkriti. By sinful activity, a person may appear to be very opulent. Once some devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, India is supposed to be the pious place of religion. Everyone knows. Even now, although they're trying hard to cover it up, it's obvious. But, so, you know, why are they suffering so much? And whereas here in the West, you know, persons are very sinful. They're very, you know, eating meat and just doing everything wrong. But they have tremendous opulence, kese. And the answer Prabhupada gave was very simple, in two words. You know, anybody know what he said? Two words. Just wait. Wait for what? Well, wait for COVID to come around. America really got smacked 3 years in a row, isn't it? Or something else. If you live in the East Europe, then you know. No need to comment. Talk about people who are sampanna. Here the word is used. Bhogavana jyadina sampannaha. Through business and through enjoyment, they become flourishing. Somebody like, well, without naming any names, Vladimir Putin. But it will be lost. Why? Because moghasha mogha karmano mogha jnana vichetasa ityadi. A person who takes to demoniac ways to fulfill his ambitions in this material world will always lose everything. A devotee is not in that category. A devotee's opulence is forever. If he's a pure devotee. If he's a mixed devotee, then sometimes it's permanent and sometimes it's not permanent, and we can't tell. Therefore, we can't judge either, can we? No, we can't. All right, so anyway, this is Sanatana Goswami's contribution here. And then he says, tatra hetu. Why is this? What's the reason? Swatantrasya svairavartina iti. Because that person is independent. Svairavartina. His dealings are independent. There's no other way to put it. Jiva Goswami, ataiva kshutradvat taddehadinamavi tadrashatvena kshutranadibhirvama. He's therefore compared to a Falgu river. Because his opulence can be wiped out. After the rainy season, they dry up, and it goes back to being a dry riverbed. Nobody could ever have guessed that there was such a flood there. You see? This is what karma is like. And the same thing happens to you. Whether you're doing your bhoga through sinful activity or pious activity, sab kuch nashwara hai. So you can't hold on to it forever. It will be taken away from your zarur. There's no way around that. Jiva Goswami says, yatha svatantrasya shastram anusarataha pungso deha sampado dravana sampadaha. He says, such a person, we're still talking about the sinful person, I gather. But we could be talking about the karmis also. Karmi, technically speaking, karmi means a dharmi. Person who's following Shastra to fulfill his ambitions, but he's still independent. This is the problem. And Jiva Goswami points this out. Yatha svatantrasya shastra manusarataha. He's following Shastra, but because he has this independent attitude of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, even his, well, there's ill-gotten gain and there's well-gotten gain. Either way, you're going to lose it. This is the point. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Svatantrasya Shastra Shasanam, this is that word again, Shastra Shasanam, Amanayata, ignoring it or disobeying this. When a person ignores the injunctions of Shastra, is independent in that way, Dehasya Sambhado Yovana Samartya Vidyadhyadravana Sambhadaha Pancha Shadgrama Adhipatyanta Yatha Nikrishtasya Kumatehe Purodvijakas Tateti Hiyayveyam. This is very interesting. He says, when a person... There are two things you can do. You can follow Shastra and be independent, or you can just be so independent that you just reject Shastra altogether. These are both going on in today's world, but mostly it's people who reject the Shastra. We don't actually find many karmis, really. We find vikarmis. We as devotees should recognize that we have to perform our material affairs according to Shastra conjunction. Where is this stated? Sure, Bhagavad Gita is a good place to start always. And moreover, tasmat chastram pramanante karya karya devastita. You should understand what to do and what not to do based on Shastra. So a pious person will follow Shastras in his affairs of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And an impious person ignores Shastra in these ways. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur here is pointing out, when we are talking about opulences of the body, such as the power of youth, the capability of youth, capacity we call it in legal terms, yovana samartya, knowledge and, you know, material possessions and such things, even up to the point of, say, if you own 50 villages or 50 temples you're running, even up to that point, he says, if we are not submissive, if we're not dependent on God, which means, if you haven't guessed yet, dependent on Shastraviti, the injunctions of Shastra. And we've discussed this before also. Aitihyam or Shishtachara, the example of acharyas, is also a guide for us. If we're not dependent on these things, what does he say? Paro vijikas. They just, all this, our bodies and our, what's in the list here? We have deha and, or kya hai? I can't see it just now. Deha, dravana, yes, material possessions, sampada. All these things just become cause for disturbing other people. Therefore, they say in English very nicely, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And they fall on someone else and squish them. It's been seen. Even in ISKCON, I'm sorry to say, it's been seen. So we have to be very careful to always be dependent and submissive. And that's really a hard pill to swallow in this fallen age. Really, we don't like this. So anyway... But this is what our acharyas are teaching him. And then he says, heya. Heya means something which should be emulated. This is should not be emulated. This is the wrong example. Don't follow those persons who are, you know, either so demoniac that they reject the Shastras outright, or, you know, superficially pious, but in their spirit they're not really accepting the thing dilse. It should not follow either one of those persons. This is the point. This example is not to be followed. That's what he's saying here. Vamshidhara, Sridhar Swami's commentator, adds a new angle on this. Indriya vashavartino dehohi vyabhicharadino utpadagami. We become deviant when we wander away on account of being controlled by our senses. Dravanamapi tad artavyayena. Our material possessions, tangible possessions, they will eventually decay. And then we end up again as dry streams, as we've already discussed. Sampadotra gavascha ashvadi rupaha ta'api. If you have your cows and your horses, or in today's parlance, if you have your car and your cell phone and your drones and your whatever they have, it's all going to be subject to this vyaya, decay. It will all vaporize in due course of time, it's guaranteed. It's designed that way. You're supposed to suffer in this world. Get it in your head, clear. It's not supposed to work, this material world. Planned obsolescence. So in the same way, nashyanti api, shigrameva, very quickly you're destroyed, whether you're pious or impious. So swatantra siapi, nirankusha gajavat dehadaya utpathagami. Your body is like an elephant without a goad. He's not going to move where you want him to. He's going to go where he wants to go. And elephants can create a lot of disturbance. This is what we're talking about. Parodvejika, becoming a disturbance to other people. The hint is here from Vanshidhara, who is a Gaudiya Vaishnava also. He knows. What do we talk about elephants with regard to disturbing others? What do we talk about? Why elephants? Why are we like elephants? Mad elephant, if we offend, this is very destructive. So, nashtascha bhavanti iti bhava. We become destroyed by that also. So, anena rajo guna svabhava suchitaha. He concludes, by all this, the passionate nature is being indicated. So we have to control this passionate nature. How do we control this passionate nature? Prahlad Maharaj says, you can conquer over sense gratification by very strictly disciplining yourself. And on what principle do you discipline yourself? The injunctions of the Shastras, the examples and the instructions given by our predecessor acharyas, and especially the guidance received from a bona fide spiritual master who should give you guidance. Nowadays, we have so many spiritual masters. They have, some of them, it seems, that they don't really take the care to guide their disciples. I know this because they come to me. They can't get the guidance that they need. It's a fact. But ideally, spiritual masters should be guiding, and we should accept that guidance. Means we have to see the wisdom in becoming submissive and dependent, even though we don't like to do that. Now, where are we going to get that strength from? Who can tell me? Where in the world are you going to muster this very valuable ability to surrender and be humble and submissive and dependent? Where is it going to come from? Somebody tell me. Say something. Yes. By the chanting of the holy name, it's so obvious. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. We need both the Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name. We need the holy name to give us the strength to follow the instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we need the Srimad Bhagavatam to channel the enthusiasm generated and the sincerity generated by chanting the holy name. They're both necessary. You cannot have one without the other. Therefore, shravanam kirtanadi. What is that? Nitya siddha krishna prema sadhya kabhunai shravanadi shuddha chitte karayaya. Shravanadi means shravana and kirtan especially. Srila Prabhupada says this again and again. So here again, Srila Prabhupada has commented on this 10th verse in his Light of the Bhagavata. I'll quickly finish it, read this before we end. It's again very nice. Listen how Srila Prabhupada also, all the things that we've been hearing, Prabhupada gives a little different perspective here for the Japanese people. He says, the small rivulets that almost dried up during the months of May and June now begin to overflow their banks like upstarts that suddenly overflow the limits of expenditure. We think of expenditure in exclusively financial terms, but it's not so. Let's hear how he explains this. Quote, one should learn gravity from the sea and the rivulet. The sea is always within its limits, in spite of the many rivers pouring water into it. Similarly, one should properly use the assets of life and not squander them for purposes that have no permanent value. What are the assets in life? Deha, the body itself. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, especially for those who are born in Brahmana families, it is not for them to enjoy sense gratification because they have to help the rest of the society in exactly the same way that Srila Prabhupada has already suggested in his commentary to the previous verse from Light of the Bhagavatam. To help others. Janma sartha kari goro parupakar. This is the idea. So Prabhupada continues here. Uncontrolled, sensuous persons play with the assets of the body and accumulate wealth. But the strength of the body should be used for self-realization, not sense gratification. By the time you get to be 60, 70, 80 years old, you know the value of capacity. Yovana samartyam, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has already mentioned. You know the value because you start losing it. It's not so easy to focus your mind anymore. It's not so easy to remember things. You can't see the deities. You don't understand what you're hearing. You don't have the strength. Look at Gopal Krishna Maharaj, bless his heart. Still going on despite all these challenges, but obviously with difficulty. That is worshipable. We're all going there, unless you get killed first, which is also an option. And you don't know either. Material nature is like that. So, human beings have two kinds of temperament, Prabhupada says. Some are introspective, others are extravagant. Those who are extravagant are enamored of the external features of phenomenal beauty and have no insight into the whole manifestation. There are so many things dancing before us in this lifetime and tempting us to go, well, to go utpadagami, to go off the path. Do not be distracted or disturbed or tempted by those things. This we have to practice. And this is what human life is for. They're practically asleep to introspection, and thus they are unable to derive any permanent value from the assets of the human form of body. Most of the things that distract us in life can be done as animals, birds, insects, snakes, bees, demigods, aliens, you name it. 8,400,000 different options. Human life is only for this, and only as humans we can do this. We have to recognize that tremendous value of this opportunity. One who has developed introspection is as grave as the sea. Remember when he opened his purport, Prabhupada said this is about gravity. While those who are extravagant or calm and quiet in sleep, maybe only in sleep, such grave persons use the full advantage of the human form of life. Although the animal propensities of the body should be minimized, those who are extravagant temporarily overflow. We're connected to this verse. What do they overflow with? Material enjoyment. Nonetheless, as soon as the rainy season of life is over, that means as soon as your karma dries up, and it will, then they become as dry as dry riverbeds. You will not have the assets that you have now forever. Get this clear. They're going to be taken away. You don't know when. Maybe it's in 2 weeks. Maybe it's in 50 lifetimes. We don't know. Most likely it's going to be sooner than later. This has to be very clear, and that's why Prabhupada is writing it here. In the material world, life is meant for the right cause, sat, that which exists for all time. In the material world, nothing is sat or eternal. But the bad bargain of the material world can be used for the best purpose. The mind dedicated to extravagance is a bad bargain. But one can make the best use of the mind by introspection. Srila Prabhupada has very compassionately written these words for the benefit of the Japanese people, and Tamal Krishna Goswami and others at the DBT, they have very compassionately published this book, Light of the Bhagavatam. New insights into these verses you will not get in the DBT Bhagavatam or in the Krishna book. Every one of Prabhupada's books we should read. Every one of them has wonderful instructions. This is a particularly wonderful, poetic section of the Bhagavatam, very favorite. It's going to be nice hearing these classes, as we've been hearing already. It's going to go on for some time. For now, I'm going to stop. If anybody has any questions or any comments, we can discuss. Sorry? Of 10. Did I not read the purport for text 10? Okay, sorry. I read the Light of the Bhagavatam only. So, Srila Prabhupada comments on text 10. During the rainy season, many small ponds, lakes, and rivulets become filled with water. Otherwise, the rest of the year, they remain dry. Similarly, materialistic persons are dry. But sometimes, when they're in a so-called opulent position with a home or children or a little bank balance, they appear to be flourishing. But immediately afterwards, they become dry again, like small rivulets and ponds. The poet Vidyapati has said that in the society of friends, family, children, wife, and so on, there is certainly some pleasure. But that pleasure is compared to a drop of water in the desert. Everyone is hankering after happiness. Just as in the desert, everyone is hankering after water. If in the desert there is a drop of water, the water is there. Pani to hai. Like, and there's a problem still. Of course, but the benefit from that drop of water is very insignificant, and that is an understatement. Tatala saikata vadi bindusama sutamita ramani samaje, Vidyapati says. It's like a drop of water in the ocean. In our materialistic way of life, we are hankering after an ocean. We want an ocean of happiness. But in the form of society, friends, and mundane love, we are getting no more than a drop of water. A few minutes, Govinda Das Kaviraj says, isn't it? Anybody know this? This is in the Brajabuli language, It's like Maithili with a bunch of Brajbhasha loanwords and Bengali grammar. Maithili grammar with Bengali and Brajbhasha loanwords. Pajahureman? What is it? Yeah. Now, what am I thinking of, though? Huh? Yeah. Anyway, every line of that word is very deep. He's a real poet. So, yeah, just a few. Chapala sukhalaba lagire. What are we doing to ourselves? Just for a little temporary happiness. What are you doing to yourself? What are you doing to this opportunity? Short window of opportunity will not last. What are you doing with it? We're supposed to think about this. And Prabhupada continues. Our satisfaction is never achieved, as the small rivulets, lakes, and ponds are never filled with water in the dry season. We're in the material world. You can't have everything forever here. That's just the way it is. And you can't fight it either. So you might as well do what? Surrender. Bhajahun hari paraniti. This is the idea. Okay. Anything? No questions? Comments? If not, then we will stop here. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.